Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your host, Freddie Wong. And do we do anything fun? I don't remember. It's been so long.
It's been so long since we've done the normal intro.
I know.
I think you just say you're a director, and then I say I'm a screenwriter, and then Matt says something.
Well, who's talking? What's his voice?
I'm Will Campos, and I am AFI's 100 Greatest American Screenwriters Combined.
Whoa.
They have formed into a 100-part mecca. Billy Wilder, Lee Brackett, they're all in there, and they all formed a big zord and turned into me and then wrote Video Game High School.
So kind of like colors, you're like a brown.
It's just a big smear. They all kind of canceled each other out, and the end result was me.
My name is Matt Arnold. I'm a writer and director second. I'm a big clumsy boy first.
Oh, boy.
Are we going to get into this? Are we going to get into the off-air drama?
Matt is the clumsy boy.
This is why we're going to have to start. We're going to start Patreon so we can afford microphones because Matt keeps breaking microphones because I keep knocking them over. And Freddie yelled at me.
Yes. It got a little real in the Story Break studio as Matt knocked over for roughly the 50th time an incredibly expensive microphone. And then Freddie was like, why do you knock over microphones? And Matt was like, let's get sandbags for the microphones. And like, I feel like what happened was Freddie went pretty hard on Matt. Matt's feelings got hurt. And so then Matt was like, you know, defended himself by saying, well, there's no sandbags. But then Freddie just kind of felt like Matt was being careless and not really listening to him because, you know, Freddie feels a little disrespected. So here's what I would recommend. I think
Freddie has a solution.
Well, that's what we're doing for Story Break. We're going to do a story about
I want to quash this beef right here. I want to hear Matt say, Freddie, I'm sorry I knocked over the microphone. I understand that, you know, you care about your equipment and you're a great filmmaker and I respect you. And I want to hear Freddie say, Matt, I know you're trying to do your best and I appreciate you as a partner and collaborator over the last decade plus that we've worked together. And it's going to take a little bit more than a damaged microphone to ruin our friendship. But, you know, I love you and I support you. And let's do the Story Break.
What Will said?
What Will said.
Right, oh, cool. There we go.
Oh, here's, all right. Here's the break. Are you ready for the break? Delivery estimate, Tuesday, November 12th, super heavy duty sandbags.
All right.
Four bags. That's $16.95 coming out of all of our pockets.
And we've put sandbags on our emotional stability as well. What are we doing this week, boys?
One caveat to what Will said, it's not my microphones, it's our microphones, guys.
So I have the right to do whatever I want.
No, Freddie, no.
No, what have you done?
It's our podcast.
All right, what are we doing?
So I had this idea someone has pitched this in the Facebook group before to do like, oh, you guys should take an existing movie and do a new movie with that title. It's been a while since that suggestion. So if you are the person who made that suggestion,
thank you.
And you know, let us know so we can thank you properly on the Twitter and whatnot. So here's what I'd like to do today. I feel like it's been a little while since we added a little randomness into the story mix. So I have here the AFI's 100 Greatest American Films list from 2007, when the last great film was made. That film, of course, being
Spider-Man 3,
the canonical last great movie that was ever made. And so AFI packed it up and they're like, we're done. But so what I'm thinking is we take a random number generator 1 to 100 and then we find the corresponding movie on this list. And then we have to do a brand new movie with no similarities whatsoever to the old one, cut from whole cloth. And then we break a movie with that title.
Old title. New movie.
Old title, new movie, same shit, different day, same podcast, same great taste and energy.
What happens if we get Spider-Man 3, though? No way we can possibly make a new Spider-Man 3.
I don't know that Spider-Man 3 made it onto the AFI.
So it's only 1 in 100 chance that we draw Spider-Man 3.
Random number generator.
Oh, Shrek the Third is 2007. Oh. That was the one.
That's the one where Shrek has his disco montage after he goes evil, right? Okay. All right. Number 45
on the AFI list, which is?
It's barely even a good movie once you get down there.
Let's see. Number 45. Shane.
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 Oh, God.
Oh, no.
That's the worst one to get.
Oh, no. What a curveball. I was expecting some kind of
token.
Okay, so, all right. Here's what's going to infuriate you about Shane is one above and one below. The Philadelphia story.
A lot you could do.
It happened one night.
Oh, perfect.
And we split the arrow and got fucking Shane, a guy's name.
I'm trying to find literally another movie title in these 100 that has less to give.
It is about as bad as it gets, boys.
I mean, like, even Cabaret is at least a location.
The problem with Shane is not only is it a name, it's a very generic dude name. There's nothing to hang your hat on.
I'm so happy. All right, let's do it. Shane, the movie.
I probably watched Shane while watching a bunch of Westerns.
It doesn't matter because you don't need it. It's great. It's a fantastic movie. I think it's honestly a masterpiece. But we don't need to know anything about Shane. Okay.
Shane was the most popular in the year 1973.
No, we don't need to know anything about it. We're just
I'm giving you the name statistics.
Okay.
1973, huge bump in Shane.
The name Shane.
That's all we have to go off of, Matt.
I thought you were talking about the movie.
Fuck, I don't give a shit about the movie.
Okay.
All right.
We're past that.
Shane.
1973, huge. Then another bump.
Shane.
Then another bump in 1987 and 1990. So Shane's a Gen X boy.
Shane also means God is gracious or a gift from God.
Shane.
Sure don't feel like that.
What word comes to your mind if I say Shane?
Shane. Pizza, because of Shane Pizza from Video Game High School.
I think of like a bully, like a sort of mean dude.
I think of like, I so associate it with the movie. I'm trying to burn out.
So can I tell you where, in America Shane is more popular?
Hit me up.
So where Shane is, Texas, no. 0.06% of the population. However, Wyoming is the most, is at 0.33%. And Montana.
Guess who the most famous person named Shane is?
Who?
Shane Warne.
Shane Warne?
Yep.
Who's that?
Exactly. Shane Shane is nobody. Shane, I mean, he's a cricket player. And so then there's Shane also Shane, the second most famous is Shane McGowan.
Who's that? Well, who is he? You're on the list. Don't just give
me that.
They
don't even say. They just assume you know. Shane McGowan is an English-born Irish vocalist and recording artist. Shane's just not a very famous
name. All right,
English-Irish.
English-Irish. It's an Irish name.
Shane.
So it's an Irish. We've got an Irish guy in Wyoming in the 1970s.
The only thing I know less about than Shane is Wyoming in the 1970s.
Okay, actually, here's what I'll give you one thing that I do have about Shane. Is if you grew up in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle area, there was a diamond company called the Shane
Diamonds. We had those in the Shane Company. You've got a friend in the diamond business.
Yeah.
The Shane Company. Just Shane off of Arapahoe at Emporia Street.
It must be bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're in Colorado too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Shane
you have
Diamonds.
A friend in the diamond business.
The Shane Company.
The Shane Company. At the corner of that was like every radio ad in between who was on the radio? Laura Schlesinger and whatever.
I am my kid's mom. Dr.
Long
Laura.
Time listener, first time caller.
We could do the mythic story of Shane, the creator of the Shane Diamond Company.
Do you want to make it about the Shane Diamond Company or make it like, I guess it could be the Shane Diamond Company.
Tom Shane. Oh, we never thought about Shane as a last name.
Oh, shit,
that changes
it. Right. Oh, that changes it all, baby.
Famous Shane's surname.
Do you want to do a movie about a guy, like an actual person with the name Shane or like?
I just want to free associate a little bit. Shane. Do you think Shane smokes weed?
Shane feels like a...
Shane doesn't feel like a weed guy. Shane feels like a meth guy.
I don't think Shane feels like a meth guy.
It feels very methy to me. I'm getting very strong methy energy.
Shane is like a weed. Whiskey name.
Oh, whiskey.
Yeah,
Shane whiskey.
Meth, the whiskey of drugs.
Shane Whiskey.
Shane Whiskey, American man. Howdy there, partners.
American cousin of David Drambuie.
David Drambuie.
Shane Whiskey. An
my
American
pervert French cousin, David Drambuie. I left the old country and staked my claim out west here. It's me, Shane American Man. Looking, panning for gold, digging for diamonds, avoiding perverts like my brother David. My cousin Dave. We got up to some weird stuff in his chateau.
Okay.
Shane Whiskey, an American man.
Shane Whiskey, colon, American man.
In a future where there's no more America.
Oh,
the
Shane Whiskey, the last American man.
Whoa. Shane Whiskey.
colon,
last American man. Okay.
So it's like Last of the
Mohicans. He's played by Tim Allen, and he complains about avocado toast. Every sentence he says starts with him going, am I the only one who... And they're like, yes,
the last American.
All right.
It's like Book of Eli, except it's, you know, about a guy who, you know, is the last American man. And he's trying to get to, like, he's memorized, like Lynyrd Skynyrd's greatest hits. He's trying to remember. Yeah.
Okay. So Shane Whiskey, Last American Man, was at a rodeo, busting Bronx, and then
got knocked out.
He got knocked out and woke up in the year 3000 and.
No America.
France has taken over America. I don't know.
America is outlawed. Like, even the mention of America is outlawed. Like, Nazis in Germany. It's like, what happened? And all he wants is to get what do you put on a horse to sit on it? You
know, saddle.
His dad's saddle is one of those like American flag saddles. So of course has been outlawed. It's like in some basement somewhere. I don't know. It's stupid.
And his dad is like, you can ride this saddle back in time to your land.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So the saddle is also a time machine.
Maybe I don't know about American. Shane Whiskey, man.
No. I was just looking for anything.
Shane Whiskey. Shane.
Shane. This episode's going to be a lot of us saying Shane.
Oh, boy.
It's going to lose meaning in a second.
Shane.
Okay. All right.
Pick a type of movie.
Shane Change. Change Man.
Shane sounds like the main character. Okay. Movies where the name is it's usually the main character's name, right? Like, what are those? There's that movie Marty. Mm-hmm. There's, what are other main character movies where it's just their name? Like, what do those movies tend to be like?
Laura.
Okay, so in Laura, noir. It's like the elusive Laura who's never there, yeah. Right?
A noir.
Laura.
No, like, no, there's an R. The fourth letter of Laura is an R.
I get it.
What did he say?
It's a noir.
Oh.
And I
said,
no,
it's a noir.
Boo. Freddie MVP. Freddie Wong. MVP. Okay. Is there podcast movies. Awards that people can nominate my name and vote me MVP of podcasts?
There probably is.
Okay.
Nominate myself.
So there's movies where it's both of the, it's the person's full name, and then there's movies where it's just one name, right? Mm-hmm. There's like Forrest Gump or, what was that Anton Yelchin movie? Do you know what I'm talking
about? Star Trek.
Charlie Bartlett. Do you know
true,
what I mean?
Yep. Like Charlie Bartlett. Like, Rambo.
But Rambo's like a last name movie, right?
It's true.
There's first name. Okay, yes. We have three genres. You have first name movies. You have last name movies. Then you have first name, last name movies, right? So I feel like first name, last name.
What about like Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Those are two people movies.
Two people movies.
Okay, well, there's more types of, but in terms of movies of single person's names, right?
Aaron Brockovich.
Frankenstein. How about he's a monster? Let's do a monster movie.
A monster named Shane. Oh, I like that. Because, like, I was also going to say, like, because Frankenstein's a good example of, like, except now and then you're like, actually, it's Shane's monster.
Shane's monster.
Okay, we got Shane. Shane's a first name. We're saying this is a first name movie, not a last name movie.
Sure, let's say it's a first name movie.
Okay, so like I feel like first name says more romance to me. Like last name movies are like, this is a guy who did something bad, right?
Yeah.
Frankenstein. It's like, this is a bad guy.
Like Finding Forrester. What did he do?
Whereas like first name is like, imagine a movie that's just like Juliet. Like, you know what Juliet's about. Like the
name. It is like Shane is such like a nothing name.
Sorry in advance, anybody named Shane.
Oh, isn't your brother-in-law named Shane?
Yeah. And he's like a really nice guy.
He's fine.
You know, you would make a movie about him. He's a great guy.
What if we make a movie about your brother-in-law? What if we just do that? What is his deal? Okay.
Shane did something bad. That's why people keep saying his name. They're looking for Shane. They're like, Shane, where's Shane? Where'd Shane go? What the fuck is up with Shane? What did you hear about Shane? I heard Shane did this.
We need something to latch our hand. Yeah,
Shane exactly. seems, all right, I'm going to throw, let me see if this sticks at the wall. Shane seems like the name of like a troubled teen. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Like, is this one of those troubled teen things where they're like, they have a disease and the disease is I can't like love anyone. And then there's someone else in the same world who also can't love anyone. But despite that, Freddy, they love each other, one of them
holy
dies.
Shit, Freddie just broke the movie.
Okay, that's the movie. But then it's Freddie. What name a movie where a teen's disease is they can't love anybody?
Well, this is why this is a new and exciting take on the genre.
A new and exciting picture.
You've seen many pictures of the genre of teens who can't do things because of reasons. Now, the reason is love. And the reason is this teen is suffering from an affliction. An affliction where he is unable to love. But lo and behold, in the same medical ward, another who also cannot love. Can love overcome?
Okay. So you're saying that Shane,
teenage affliction.
Shane, this is like a future. It's like a Gattaca type movie. And Shane has gotten a disease, a rare disease that he just cannot love.
Mm-hmm. He can like.
You can like,
but never love.
You can never love. You can only like things.
All right, we have Shane, the teen who can't love.
The teen who couldn't love.
And then he finds another teen who also can't love, and they both go, I like you. Like, I like you too.
We'll have a strictly platonic relationship. We will get married, of course, for the tax reasons. For the tax code, we'll combine our incomes, and we'll live a brief but wondrous life.
And they go, do you hear about Shane? He's like, is that teen that doesn't love anything? And they go, yep. He met somebody else.
They'll go about attending concerts, mediocrity. They'll go about watching movies and munching on popcorn.
This is the hardest story break yet. We found it.
Shane.
There's nothing to go off of.
Okay. Shane.
Reroll.
If your name is Shane and you're listening to this episode, please tweet us.
I think we have to reroll.
No.
No, we're not rerolling. No,
1973, what state was it? What fucking state was it?
Wyoming.
Shane. Nicknamed Whiskey steals
Shane Whiskey Steel
and has to drive across Wyoming in the 1970s. It's like a police chase.
Okay. I have a lead.
Something. God, please.
We have, there's a category on Wikipedia called 1973 in Wyoming.
Okay.
Fuck off, really?
Okay, and then we have KYOY. Oh, shit. We have our lead. Have a lead. 1973 was the year that KYOY 92.3, greatest hits on the planet, was a radio station with classical hit. Oh, no, classic hits music format, licensed to Hillsdale, Wyoming. The station is currently owned by Lorenz Proietti through a license with their Pro Shop Radio Broadcasting LLC. Okay, so we have a town in Wyoming. We have the founding of a new radio station. We have the new rock DJ who just came to town.
Named Shane.
Shane Spinner.
Shane
Spinner.
He plays
the Beck Swacks on Stacks.
All right. Shane is okay. Yeah, let's chase this down. 1970s. Shane comes to Wyoming.
A decade we all have never lived through.
Okay, no. But we know. But what does the 1970s have? Classic rock mustache bangers, dude.
Fuck
every
yeah.
musician had a bigger mustache than the last. Sideburns for days. Fucking
1973.
Led Zeppelin. Dude, we got a romance set at a music station.
So what happens?
Ramblin' Man, Allman Brothers Band.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Right, but what's the thing? Because just that's a sitcom. What's this movie about? What happens? Somebody get murdered.
Shane's trying to bring techno to Wyoming.
Somebody's saying music's not allowed in Wyoming. Only horses.
We don't take kindly to it's like Coco. No music, only horses. That's the motto in this
town.
That's
the new state motto. We got a new state flower. It's no music. And we got a new state bird. It's horses. And here too, and I'm running on this platform. We're going to do it. You're going to be the first state with no music on horses. You walk in, here's your horse.
I see we found Freddie's ambiguously problematic accent again.
All right.
Oh boy,
Wyoming.
All okay. right, all right. I'm looking. I'm on the website Hillsdale. For KYOY Greatest Hits on the Planet.
Let's Get It On came out in 1973. I say we don't get it on. We get on horses. Let's get on horses.
Hillsdale is a very small.
All right,
area.
It could be a Dirty Dancing type movie. They banned classic rock because it's all horses and. They're like the classic tunes spook the horses, so we can't have classic rock in this town. And then you have like a wayward girl, and she wants more than riding horses. And then a classic rock DJ comes to town named Shane.
Maybe a classic rock DJ comes to town and wants to. And
all right, I'll throw one thing. This is from Will's secret bag, and I'll throw this half baked idea out of here that I've wanted to do for a while. Maybe it'll knock something loose. So I was a music DJ in high school. I worked at a local radio station.
Well, hold on. Really?
Yeah, I had a radio show when I was like 16.
No way.
Yeah.
What was the radio station?
It's KGNU in Boulder, Colorado, 88.5. And I was on the Restless Mornings shift with my friend Grant, and my other friend Chris, and Amory. We would like kind of trade the slots off. So every Sunday night at 2 a.m., my mom would wake me up and we'd go, because my mom is a fucking saint. She would drive us to the radio station. So we would do, I played mostly jazz. Like I would play 3 a.m. weird jazz and then
like Sun Ra and shit.
Yeah. So we would, but there was, so KGNU and they had these massive stacks of like their albums and stuff that you would play from and you'd just go run and pick music. They had one section called Schlock, which was where they put like all of this bizarre bad like polka hits and stuff like that. Like it was all these weird albums that they had got that were just really terrible. So we would like for like an hour between my set and my friend's set, we would co-host a set called the Schlock Shower, which was like a schlock hour.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
We would do like silly music that's and stuff fun. Like that. But anyway, I've always wanted to do a movie set at a radio station and it would be like a love story. But then I was like, it would be like someone's working at the radio station and they meet someone, but it's like a ghost or something like from the past. I don't know. Like the, this was a long wind up to like not that big a thing, but I was like, oh, it'd be interesting. Like he's wandering through the book stat. He's like, again, let's.
Okay.
So here's what I was like, shit, I could also see, hear me out, Shane as a willowy ghost teen name. And so you could do someone works at this radio station and then Shane is like the ghost they fall in love with.
Okay. I do like, okay, Shane the ghost DJ, because that's very good. I think Shane the ghost DJ is the direction. I didn't want to do another Dirty Dancing or Coco or whatever. Shane ghost DJ.
Shane the sad teen ghost DJ.
Okay.
Because you could do like this. You could do, we could set it in the modern day, and you have your main character is like the girl that's working at this boring old radio station. It was the only internship she could get. She wants to move to the big city and get a, you know,
she's like terrestrial nobody's radio.
Nobody's ever seen Shane outside of the station.
Oh, it's like Legend of 1900.
He's like stuck in there. He's stuck there. It's one of the, what was the Scary Tales, Scary Stories, right? The book with all the crazy illustrations.
Yes.
There's that story that always affected me where it was that girl who had a ribbon around her neck.
And then they pull the ribbon on her head.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like he'd always be like, oh, I can't go, or do something like that. The ending was like he falls in love.
Freaked me out because it's like, how thick is that ribbon to be able to hold the torsion? You know, like if you're going to turn your head. Anyway.
Just another
stupid book. Stupid, scary story. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Scary so, how dumb it was.
Scary so how stupid it was. Ooh, spiders laid a bunch of eggs. You want to what? Go to the doctor, idiot. Can't scare me, stupid.
You do some old lady in the town is like just trust me, whatever you do, don't fall for Shane. It's because she fell for Shane.
Don't fall
when she
for
was
Shane.
Again, Shane's been here for like 50 years or whatever, but she won't tell her that he's
still hot, just as hot as the day I met him.
Okay. Real. Ghost radio station is cool.
What is it that is holding him here?
It's the Chinese Democracy never got released.
Someone has to play Chinese. You lift the curse by playing Chinese Democracy, and he's so disappointed that
he's
his soul disintegrates.
It sucked.
Why is he stuck here still playing music?
In this liminal space? And it's you could do because there's so much fun radio shit you could do, like frequency or whatever. Like you do, she tunes into this, like again, like she's scanning through the dial.
It's like it's in between.
And there's like, wait
stations,
a second, like what station is this? I've never heard it before. And then she's trying to track it down. And then it's this old abandoned radio station. And she's like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, I took it. Okay, that's good. I took it as like we're at KYOY or whatever, the actual station.
KYOY, the radio station that Matt Arnold came up with. Here on KYOY.
KYOY is the name of the station.
This is Hillsdale,
Wyoming. This was the station. That's where I got it. This was the station that was founded. This is what it was established in 1973 in Wyoming.
K-Y-O-Y. I just took it as like, it's like she goes to KYOY and shows up there. And there's a mysterious teen, and then you're just exaggerating that this mysterious teen's actually a ghost. Like, it's like a normal station.
Oh, yeah, you're not an actual spookamon.
And everybody's like, where does Shane go when he leaves here? It's like, I never really see him leave. He always just disappears, and they never know. It's like, oh, I hear he lives, like, you know, on the other side of the tracks or whatever it is. Like, everybody knows him. Like, he interacts, but he never leaves the station. And it's like, how is he?
Okay, all right. So
she's like, come to dinner with me. He's like, I can't. And she's like, that sucks. He doesn't like me. He's like, I do. She's like, well, if you like me, why don't you come to dinner with me?
We can have dinner in the DJ booth.
Let's have dinner with DJ. He's like, okay, the first four times we did dinner in the DJ booth, it was pretty romantic and cool, but now it's like, come on, like, what are you? Do you have a job or what? Like, are we going out? Like, what are you doing?
I have to stay back and read the weather. I can't. I have
like,
to.
Okay, it's very clear you're a ghost, Shane.
You're a ghost. I get it.
All right.
This is too conventional. We're in a world now where a man released a video game where you carry a baby through America and you can pee and kill ghosts. And you're going to come at me now in this day and age with a story about a ghost DJ who has to go on dates? Get the fuck, step the fuck up, Matt. Come on. Come on.
All right, Freddie, go.
What if Shane, this ghost DJ, is part of a network of ghosts, and it's secretly he's been waiting. He's okay. You know that what was that movie where you do the reincarnation afterlife, where Shane's like waiting to be reincarnated, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's been trying to, and it's like through the power of radio giveaway contests, he's been trying to find a suitable host. So he keeps doing this like thing where it's just like, hey, be the 10th caller. But then the 10th caller is the soul that he inhabits.
So the 10th caller always disappears.
Yeah, he inhabits their soul. That's what they
win. A detective shows up. So like her mom came here because people are disappearing in town.
Yeah.
And so she's a detective. And she's like, oh, man, I got to go to a new town. It's like, luckily, I like this new DJ. And it's like, little does she know that the people that are disappearing are because Shane, the sad ghost DJ, every time there's a winner.
Is inhabiting their souls through the terrestrial telephone lines. And his time is running out. So him as a ghost, he's getting desperate.
I think I'm going to say it's like a network of ghosts, that there's lots of ghost DJs out there. And they're all working to
they
end the
be.
World.
They could be.
What so if the, okay, sorry, I wasn't listening to anything. You okay. What if the town radio station is about to get bought out by Clear Channel and turn into fucking corporate radio bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And so Shane, the DJ, has like figured out like the radio station is a time machine. If you play like the top hit from that year backwards on the vinyl player, like you can rewind time and then come out of the radio station and you're back to that year in time, right? And he's trying to save the radio station by like sabotaging.
This
like,
time travel element intrigues me.
I don't know.
Okay. How about, again, bear with me. You do. I kind of like there are people like, why do they come here? Just bear with me. It's like our main character's mom or dad or whatever is coming here to become the new sheriff or whatever it is because people are disappearing. And when they get there, they keep saying, it's like, man, this place is like, it's like they haven't, this movie takes place in like 2019. Like, man, this place is just like the 1970s. It's like it hasn't aged at all. It's like a time machine.
And then
ghost is refusing to let go. And as long as he keeps playing music of the 1970s, he keeps the town in the 1970s. And they start realizing nobody's left this town. And anybody who's come in here has never left since then. And then people are disappearing. And it's like, it's part of the effect in order to keep the town, like the station needs souls to keep it alive or whatever, and it's like this sad DJ.
Oh, it's like the dark's power of nostalgia.
Yeah,
right?
So
that's a cool
that.
Little Twilight Zone.
Yeah, like I like
and
that.
And this person and this DJ won't let it go or whatever, and she falls in love with him and stuff, and realizes
and
like this.
All they have
DJ's
to do
for like 30 years,
and then you have a scene where she's like, "I have Skrillex's new album here. I just have to play it for Shane. If he can hear the boop bop beats of dubstep,
okay,
maybe he'll
okay.
let go."
That fucking metal ending is Skrillex. it's that she puts Skrillex on. Like at one point she's about to put on like a new song on the station, and he's like screams and pulls it off like a little bit too intensely. Mm-hmm. And it's because when she Ooh. Plays Skrillex, it accelerates to the year 2019, and then the ending is Skrillex is playing as everybody in town is super aging and like melting into skeletons.
Fuck, yes, they're
like,
melting
it's
into
the
spooky
most metal
skeletons.
Music video ever, as his whole town ages by 40 years during the course of a Skrillex yeah. song.
And then Shane grabs and starts scratching it, so everyone's like, I keep jumping in between old age and...
She's like, don't understand, you have to let this town die, and you have to do it over dope-ass dubstep music.
The paranormal thing I love.
Okay, here's what I like, because here's what you do. Hear me out. This town was so fucking, it was the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were so freaked out about thermonuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
They thought the world was going to end any day,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're like, we want to go on living. We don't want to lose our life, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're scared of the future, right? And so they made a pact with a demon who was like, I can make it so that this, you're stuck. You know, like, I can protect you from aging. Mm-hmm. I can protect you from anything changing. You can hold on to your perfect little world as the world changes around you. You know, and you'll live forever and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And then that's Shane. And Shane's music, he plays the music of the day, and that keeps them trapped in this bubble.
Yes.
Right. And so, yes,
it's the range. It's the range of the radio tower.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and so
good.
Then, yeah, you do that. People move to this town and then they never fucking leave, you know, like because they get like, you know, kind of pulled into this thing or whatever. Right.
You have a moment where there's a problem with the station and it like stops playing for like 20 minutes. And mm-hmm. you do like everybody suddenly gets really sore. Like, that's so weird. Like, did you notice that when this radio wasn't working anymore? Like, because like they started aging for just like those 10, 15 minutes or whatever the music wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like her and her mom were like the only people that weren't affected or whatever.
Oh, and you could do like, oh, okay. Because, you know, like there are these areas. You see, like they do stories about this. Like there are areas with no cell phone towers.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it's because there are people that get affected by that and stuff like that.
And lo and behold, the documentary.
Herzog goes to one of those places.
Yeah.
Right. And but there are people there that move there for health reasons.
Correct.
Or so they claim. Or yeah, you
correct,
do. Correct. Someone was an internet addict or something mm-hmm. like that, and they've come here to detox.
Yeah.
Right. So that could be the person who moves in, and then you would do like again, like there's no signal from anywhere mm-hmm. else, but there is this radio station and people, mm-hmm. it's like, it's nice, you know, no one's on their phones all day. No one's, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're mm-hmm. just listening to the radio and, you know, mm-hmm. it's just like it was back in the day. They get their news from the local paper, right? And then, you know, she's like, if you're your main character, she's like, I want to know what's going on with my friends back in the outside world or whatever. And the local paper only covers local events. It doesn't even talk about the outside world. So she's trapped in this. Yeah. And then Shane is like the mysterious DJ that, like, you know, everyone in the town loves.
I like that.
The D in DJ stands for demon.
Demon jockey.
Demon okay. jerk.
Demon jerk.
Demon jerk. Okay, what did Shane do? I feel like you want that tragic story.
Is it like some lovelorn teen in the summer, right, who missed the summer of love, who has the love, and he wants to hold on to it? What is that personal story for why everyone here is stuck?
Or like
in
if
this
it
loop?
Was, this is stupid, but like trying to think if it was like. If this wasn't Hillsdale, Wyoming, but like a place where there was like nuclear testing, it's like Shane is like the nuclear scientist and like he accidentally detonated a nuke and was going to kill the whole town. And then it got stopped by this demon. And then it's like, and then he made a pact. Like, is there something that like Shane did something so horrible that it's like, he's trying, it's something that he can't let go of or like,
forgive himself for. If you were going to do, yes, it would be like, again, like another awful thing where you hear like, again, like there was these, that's what killed John Wayne, if I remember correctly, was they were making his Genghis Khan movie. Mm-hmm. And it was like they were downwind of the one of these nuclear detonations out in the desert. Mm-hmm. And then like a whole bunch of people from that crew got cancer and died and shit like that. So you could do, yes, Shane was a scientist, a part-time classic rock DJ or whatever, right?
Or rock DJ is something that he always wanted to do. And now that, again, in his mind, he's like, it's all home free. Like, it's fine. This town's going to be safe forever. We live in the perfect time period. I always wanted to be a DJ deep down anyway. So now I'm just a DJ. It's just cool. We don't need scientists here. Ha-ha. So
what you would do is that there was a bomb went off. Mm-hmm. And the whole town was essentially going to die. Mm-hmm. And no one had realized it yet. But he had realized it, right? And he wanted to stop it. And then he made this dark pact with a demon or whatever to keep the town safe. But they could never leave.
By the way, you know what's right by Hillsdale is Cheyenne, which is where some of our nuclear, like, underground storage spots are.
Okay, cool. Because then what you would do is, because like, what's fun is, like, she should go to his house, because now you don't have to do, he's stuck in the DJ booth. It's the town is all, you know, right in this bubble or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like
he has to play the song every night.
Yeah,
for the DJ.
For the demon or whatever.
For the demon, yeah.
I was going to say, you do a thing where there's, like, a picture of him, like, as a scientist. Like, he's like, I used to intern as a scientist. Like, it was fun. He's like, how? What do you mean used to? Like, you're 18 still. Like, what do you mean? Like, when? He's like, like a couple weeks ago, it stopped, though.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's like, no, this is a long time ago. Like, again, he's been as a teen for like 40 years
Okay, so Shane is the mysterious boy in the town she falls in love with.
Yes.
Okay.
But he's also, and it should be something like he did something stupid. Like, I feel like he was responsible for this thing about to go off.
Or, I mean, but I think he's, hear me out. Mm-hmm. If he's young, it would be, again, he was an into, he discovered what was happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And realized it was going to be too late to stop it, right?
Yes.
And he was devastated. And then he made this dark thing.
Made it
so
back.
He's still, the current situation is his fault.
Yes, yes, but, I like that.
And then you would do, like, you would have to do, like, there's some dark deed he has to do to
demon. I like some of the people die. I like people have been disappearing because every once in a while, like, the demon
needs a
soul.
He has to make a sacrifice. Yeah.
Like, it's really like the demons that let it, like, play out. It's like, I'm owed 1,000 souls or whatever. Like, however this town
so
is.
So give me one soul a year for the next 1,000.
Yeah,
you
can survive for 1,000 years or whatever. That's
or
your 50 deal.
50 years or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever it's
going
to be. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And he's like, okay. And then that's like, does he have the choice of who it is? Because that'd be pretty dark.
Of course it's her.
Oh, like
that winds up being
be
the sacrifice.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Usually, again,
a tragic ending?
Here's what you would
do. He picks up asshole usually and stuff like that, but it's like, you have the power. It's like, that's fucked up.
Oh, you do the weird Twilight Zone thing where everyone's really nice to him.
Oh, yeah, like they don't know it, but they feel that Shane's important.
Or you could do, here's what I could do. Okay, so now you have Shane, you have her, you have the demon, right? Then I think the demon is like the Wolfman Jack voice on the radio. Because then it feels like you have the dramatic confrontation at the radio station for sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a thing.
Do you think the demon should be a character?
Yeah,
I feel like
kind
a presence
of.
Because he can, like, this is his time bubble that he can feast upon, and he plays the devil's music, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do feel like the DJ is
it's Kodachrome
by
Paul Simon.
I don't think Shane is the DJ. I think the DJ is this demon. Or something like that.
Oh, Shane should... Okay. I feel like Shane should definitely be a DJ at the station. I think that's the fun of it.
Yes, I guess you're right. He's the late night DJ, and then every night he has to play a song to appease the demon, and then occasionally the demon tells him to sacrifice someone.
Yes.
You know, like, and they give him the name to sacrifice.
Oh, right? Every time that song is played, somebody dies.
Whoa.
That way you can, it'd be a cool thing you could do throughout the movie. It's like that song starts playing, and then like they start realizing somebody dies like when that song plays. And you could do that's accelerating because the demon's like, I need more souls. He starts playing it every night. I don't know.
Oh, here's what you could do. Okay, this is very creepy.
Okay.
Here's what you could do. It would be, because this is back with it being the voice on the voice is the demon. Mm-hmm. Just hear me out. Because you would do like, again, just bear with me. Because no one knows exactly where this radio station is. They just get the radio, and it's the only radio station they get out here, mm-hmm. right? So you would do anytime Don't Fear the... Shane's always listening to classic rock, right? And like just hear me out. Mm-hmm. Whenever Don't Fear the Reaper, like American Graffiti.
Which was 76, by the way.
Well, whatever. Okay. American Graffiti, you remember Wolfman Jack, right? In American mm-hmm. Graffiti, it's like you would do like, there's this voice, and then it always does a shout out, like this song goes out to so-and-so.
And then
he plays the song that is like the song that like, that's the person you're supposed to sacrifice to me, Shane.
I love that. I feel like it seems so much stronger that Shane has to call it out, like Shane the DJ. If you want the demon to be there, I would like make it like the boss at the. It also feels like I get it if the girl comes and like works at this DJ station and meets DJ Jack.
Sure,
and
it's
make it like the boss that she never. It's weird that she doesn't meet the boss. It's like, oh, don't worry, the boss doesn't want.
He's in the booth. You can hear him, but he's like, you never see him.
Or he's in the back office. It's like it's just shouting. And Shane goes in and talks to the boss, and it's like, and at some point, because again, it's like right, these are newcomers to the town. Everybody's always suspicious of. So like. Yes, at some point she's going to finally be able to meet the boss, which would be the demon or whatever.
Oh, you know, them entering the town could be the thing, the accidental thing where it's like they're driving on a road trip and like they're surfing stations. You need to be listening to the station as you enter the threshold. Otherwise, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of an interesting, because otherwise people drive through Wyoming, you know?
Yeah, you just do kind of like usually people just, well, I would do that. Usually people just drive through. Nobody lives here, right? It's another
like one of those towns on the side of the road you don't think about.
I like kind of like if you're going to go the nostalgia thing, I would do something where it's like some sort of relationship with the main character's parent who is like retiring. And again, she's like, I don't want to, why are we moving? It's like, I'm torn up. Like, again, it's like, I wish things, like it'd be some grief that they have in their past, whether it's a lost spouse or whatever it is. Like, I wish things were just how it was. This town's got no internet, has got nothing. I just want to retire and relax. It's going to be a great place for you to grow up, you know? And you know, once you're 18, you can fucking leave if you want or whatever.
You could also do like, there could be some specific angst with her backstory mm-hmm. that is like why they're moving to this new town.
Yeah.
Again, you could do someone who's been publicly shamed right off of Twitter. You could do a John Ronson kind of thing with it.
She's like Star Wars kid.
Star Wars kid. That's actually not bad. Like you could do Star Wars kid. Yeah. Like, and it's like, it was really, really bad. And she was really, really embarrassed. And they wanted to get away from the internet. Do you know what I mean? So they came to this town that's like this dark spot where there's nothing else in the world. And the mom's looking out for her daughter, but the daughter's like sad because she misses her friends or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think we've got the ground. We've got the groundwork. Yeah. This is very compelling. I like this. We've got the mysterious boy at the radio station. You've got the girl who moves to town and...
Why are they leaving, right? If it's like, if it's leaving because of the big city, because, you know, it's crazy, or it's like they're leaving because, you know, something went wrong and they're just trying to escape. If they're leaving because they literally want to unplug, like that's a specific thing, arguably even like a privilege thing, where it's like, I just want to be disconnected and bring my kids. I'm just trying to figure out what reason are they.
All right, let's talk about the family,
yeah.
right? Like, and what this character is going to go through, right? Like, what is like the, I'm trying to like kind of work it from both ends here. It's going to be like she meets this guy. She starts working at this radio station. People start disappearing. She's trying to figure out why people are disappearing. She discovers the dark secret, right?
Yes.
And then now she's the one who has to be sacrificed. Shane is conflicted and doesn't know what to do.
Because you have that great, by the way, just a great scene. It's like once she pieces together, because you have like Shane always comes out from the boss's office and he like sighs. The first time she notices, he looks sad coming out of the boss's office, and he's got this post-it. And then when he's reading, like, this song goes out to the post-it, is like, again, he gets the message of who's gonna die. And then she figures out what it is. And then like her and her mom, like she's like driving, trying to get to the station, and the song comes on Shane, and she's like, this one goes out to, and it's her.
You should always,
like, oh shit. And like, she knows she's gonna get killed.
It should be, just so it's not super obvious, the names are always an anagram of the of the name of the person who's gonna get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a fun, like, because that's like a little riddle she has to put together, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. I like it. So she's got a nose for a story. She's gonna be chasing this down, whatever is going on, right? So Like, this is a story about someone trying to solve a mystery. Because it's like, you know...
What is Shane doing? Is Shane somebody just holding on to the nostalgic good life of when he thought things were perfect?
Well, again, no, remember, he doomed the town.
Yeah, yeah. Or is it, in that case, like, yeah, it is just more, it doesn't really matter, like, how nostalgic. It's like, he's just doing this out of necessity. Like, the town is frozen because it's the deal he made with the devil.
Yes, and he is not ready to face death and let go.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And then all of these people don't realize what's going on either.
I mean, it's like, he saw, like, a bunch of people were going to die, and then he stopped it. What's wrong with what he did?
What do you mean?
Like if it's like, a bunch of people are about to die from a nuclear blast, and then, like, he froze it so that people could live, like, many more years.
It's got to be, like, on a metaphysical level, they are all dead.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying, though? Like, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just trying to figure it out. Like again, if it was, like, specifically, like, I'm keeping this town exactly how it is because I like it and I don't want things to change. Like, again, he's essentially robbing them of their agency of, like, living in a different place, and they don't realize that this town's never growing or changing because of the deal this guy made, as opposed to, like, there was a bomb about to go off. And he stopped it.
Well, he set it off is the idea.
Sure, even if it was his own mistake, like, he still essentially, I'm not saying, like, what he did, but it's like, if it is something that he did that was wrong, what was wrong about it? Like, is mm-hmm. it, like, is it that?
It's because he was smoking too many doobies while listening to the Doobie Brothers while working at the nuclear storage facility, man.
Like, again, if it was, I mean, right, and there's Doctor Who stories kind of like this, where it's like somebody, you know, can't, like, something bad wouldn't happen, and then, like, a scientist tried to stop it. And it's
The person is usually
the people are actually zombies. Like, they're not even really alive, and they're just doing it for their own, it's like they're doing it just for their own inability to accept, like, a mistake or whatever, and they have mm-hmm. to fess up to it and realize, like, you know, what they've done isn't good. It's actually worse than the fate that was met before or whatever. So I'm just trying to figure out what the angle is on this town.
Yes. Okay. It feels like to me they did die.
Mm-hmm.
They did all die.
Okay.
And they're trapped here mm-hmm. in, like, this limbo.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And they can't, their souls can't move on. Like, that would be the twist. It's like the whole town is, it's like the whole town is ghosts. But it's like, if you stay here long enough, you're going to get sucked into the, I don't know. Is something there maybe? It feels like you could do a classic. She manages to get out of town and finds the newspaper, and it's like, oh shit.
They've been gone for
They've been dead for decades or whatever.
I'm trying to think of, like, do the people know if, like, you told the people, like, hey, by the way, like, you blew up, you're here. What do you want to do about it? Would they be like,
oh, if she told the townsfolk?
Yeah.
Mm.
Whereas, like, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, like, is Shane the,
it could be like a lottery type situation where this is the dark pact the whole town made.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be,
yeah, because everybody
they
was like
lure too- in new souls to sacrifice to keep themselves alive. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, there, what it is like, you understand it. It's like, it's not fair what happened to us. You know,
we got cut down in the prime of our lives.
Yeah. So the they're holding on to what they had. And then every so often someone blows through town, and then they're going to have to, you know, sacrifice them.
OK, so that would be the town is actually all in on this. And yeah, souls are needed to be this demon needs souls to be fed in order to keep them all alive.
Yes.
And if they don't get people that come in here occasionally, it means they have to consume themselves, and it's a lottery system, which is horrible. So they always try to get new people to show up, and if new people show up, they're the ones who gets consumed. Feels like they would pretty quickly go after them. So, okay, so you can have the whole town is kind of, like, in on this.
Oh, you could do, okay, classic thing. You would do that, like, their uncle lived mm-hmm. here, and he died. And they're coming to his, they got the house and the will, so they're coming to put it on the market, right? And, or something like that, right? Like, her and her mom. And then they get there and the house is in disrepair, and they're like, what the fuck happened to Uncle mm-hmm. Frank anyway? Or not Uncle Frank, I have an Uncle Frank. What happened to Uncle Benny? And, like, you know, he was kind of a recluse or something like that. So, but then they're like, the house is a fucking mess. We're going to stay here for a couple of weeks to fix up the house before we put it on the market. And you know what? It's, of course, the local realtor is the one who tells them to do that. And now they're getting sucked into the trap as well. And now it's like a sleepy murder mystery type of thing. I don't know. Does that work?
Can I throw out a zag?
Okay.
Well, it's just, it feels...
Just go. What's your zag?
Yeah, because I think we're, when you first brought it up, I think that was the most engaging was, like, again, what is this about? Because it feels kind of like a Twilight Zone episode that I've seen a few times. Like, mm-hmm. this sort of, like, again, it's like the whole town's in on this. It's the lottery.
The whole town is in on it.
If you did, again, I kind of liked it about being nostalgia or, like, again, wanting to freeze things where they are and not wanting to move on. And the sin, if Shane's the one responsible for it, the sin is that he's given that choice to nobody else. Everybody else is frozen. The kids never grow up. up. People never grow. Music never changes. Everybody here is stuck. Everybody's been stuck in this town for 40 years because Shane's refused to let go.
Okay, yes, 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 yes.
I would do something simple. Again, something was going to change in his life that he didn't want to happen. You know, like his dad was stepping out or his mom was stepping out or something small and simple. That he's like, why can't it be like the things used to be? And he got it that way. And then like part of the twist or hint could be like when she meets the family, it's like the only person who seems unhappy or like unwilling is like the one person who like, you know, was going to leave or feels like they're not supposed to be here because it's the thing that they're forced to stay here or something like that, like something small.
Yes.
And then it's about Shane. And again, that problem would be similar to whatever our main character's problem is. And in her learning the lesson, Shane's going to have to learn the lesson and let go and let time move on and accept like the way things were supposed to be or whatever.
Okay. So yes, I like that. Let's go with that. Mm. And then I would think, okay, so yes, it is what is Shane not willing to let go of? You know, what is about to happen that he doesn't want to happen? Like he has a kid sibling that is going to die who has cancer or something like that. They've just found out.
Oh, I like that. Because what you do, by the way, is like the ending isn't like everybody ages and dies. What you do is the curse is broken or whatever.
And now the town is back to where it's caught up with time.
I would do that. They actually did the 40 years.
She goes
years
to the
happen.
Graveyard and she sees like grown up Shane is like at his brother's grave.
Yes.
And it's like, thank you. Or something like that.
It's like, how was the last 40 years? It was like, it was ups, it was downs, it was tough.
It was so sad.
Yeah, it's like a lot happened in my life.
It sucked.
Well, yeah, it's like it shouldn't
the
be like life was
sucked.
Great. It'd be like it was like he should be like the music did suck though.
Oh, that's so beautiful. The ending. Yeah.
Big old edible. He's like, these are legal now.
And she's like, oh, music just sucks if you don't listen to the good stuff. Let me show you the good stuff. And then her and like 80-year-old Shane are walking down there sharing headphones and she's playing
like, this is dog shit.
She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is Skrillex. This still sucks. He's like, oh, whatever.
This is the new Kanye. I never liked this Kanye West.
He is Kanye West.
he wakes up and he turns around. It's like, it's Kanye.
Okay, shit. That's really good though.
Because Kanye set up in Wyoming.
Okay. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well,
that's his new studio.
Okay. This is good. This is cooking. I like that. That's poignant. Okay. It feels like in this version, you don't do that. He's sacrificing people, though, right? It feels like
that might be a little much.
I know. I'm like, all right, fuck you. Then at that point, I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But it is like, I think it's you can never leave once you're in the 10 minutes. She's like, why the fuck can't I leave this town?
Yeah.
That feels like the thing it would be. Do you know what I mean? And she's got a life going on the outside that she's trying to stay in contact with, and it's getting harder and harder and harder.
Yes.
And, you know, and her mom is kind of, there's a seductive nature to what's going on.
Yeah, at one point she even tries to leave town to go see her old friends, and she gets to, like, the board. Like, I don't think it's, like, a barrier. It's like she gets there, and she just can't bring herself to leave.
Or it's a classic Groundhog Day type thing, right? Like, you get there, and, oh, John, there's a blizzard, and you can't turn, the roads are closed.
Or as you're leaving, you're re-entering the town. It's a loop.
That's fine. Like, okay. Where
and
was
Shane's
I?
Like, I've written a song about this. I call it Hotel, not Wyoming.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the main girl.
Okay.
Let's wrap this up because we're going to close in.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's from the city. She's from Millennial California.
Here, Millennial California.
Millennialopolis.
Every new citizen gets an avocado toast with their vinyl players.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, so in this version, it's not that her uncle died. Do we like that she got canceled by her classmates or something like that? And then her mom is like, you need to go somewhere else. Or she got bullied or like, I don't know. She was Star Wars kid.
I was going
to
do somebody who did something bad, actually.
Okay.
Like, you could do that. She's kind of troubled teen or whatever. And she did something that got viral. Like,
she said something dumb.
Yeah,
she said something dumb.
Or, like, even, like, there was that thing that came out with, like, those girls were, like, beating up, like, another girl at, like, a game. Like, I feel like she should do something bad. Like, I don't mind. Like, she should be, like, she's got troubles. And the parents, that's totally their solution. She's famous now. She's getting made fun of. This is definitely not, like, she already had troubles that she was trying to deal with. You know, whatever it is. Like, again, maybe her little brother is sick or something like that. She's lashing out. And it's like, this is not the place for her because it would be hard enough as a teen just to fucking, you know, get better, period. But now the fact that she's, you know, spread out on the internet and whatnot, like, let's go disconnect.
Okay, so yes, she said something bad, but she's a teenage girl and said something stupid on the internet and got blasted for it.
Yeah, she was like the Ching Chong girl.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
Jimmy Wong wrote a song about her. And she's like, shit. And she's like, oh, man, my life's ruined. I'm a horrible person.
It would be a young person made a dumb mistake and then suffered like a, because of our hyper-connected society, couldn't, you know, like, you know, like the, you know, like it's kind of, you know, become this life.
Again, not removing blame from them. They just this is somebody who's got to grow. This is a kid who's smoking cigs and you know, telling no to her parents. You know, she's a troubled teen.
Okay, all right.
Our framework of troubled teen is getting so rapidly out of date on a minute-by-minute basis, Matt, that I
know, what is it? Like selling drugs on the dark web.
She was selling gamer girl bathwater, and then someone got hepatitis. So then they moved to this town. She's like, this blows. Like, she has to have some intrigue in her life. How does she wind up at the DJ station?
She's looking for a job. She's looking for a job, and she's like, this town fucking sucks. Like, oh, I can work at a DJ. Like, if you're like, if she likes music.
The donut shop or the DJ.
Yeah, like, DJ seems like a pretty cool gig, and she sees this hot guy, and they're like, all right, like, whatever. Fucking this town sucks, but, like, I got a DJ gig, and maybe I'll hit on this cute guy or whatever, and this guy's mysterious and cool, and it's like, there's something nice in this town. The dad's like, oh, is there something you found in this town that you like?
What? Okay. What does she want in the course of the adventure, right? She's going to meet that. There's also part of me that's just like, can you just like have it be like, I don't know that her thing needs to be like about cancel culture or being online or something like that. Yeah. Like it could be like, you know,
it should be a romance with a if it's going to be like, this feels
it's
like
a romance, right? She like she got dumped or something like that. Like what energy is she walking?
She's
going
to have romance with another troubled kid. And then in the end it's tragic. Like they found something, but you know, she's going to let him go because he's going to grow up to be an 80-year-old man. Or we Harold and Maude this shit. And as they walk away, she's like, so, and she's like, hell yeah. And you're like, I don't know what to feel. This is complicated. Okay. Is age just a number? People say that, but like, let's be honest, there's a barrier, right? There's definitely a limit. That's all I'm saying. The 80-year-old guy just looks at the camera and goes, age is just a number. And then everybody's like,
age is just a number. It's a pretty important number. And there's legal consequences around those numbers. You're right.
All right. We need to end this thing. We're so close. Okay. So she comes to town. She is, you know, maybe it's the parents are moving here.
They're trying to fix their marriage.
I almost wonder if it could be something like that. I don't know that, because when you're a kid, like, this stuff isn't necessarily always your fault why they moved or whatever, right? You know? What is she into? Because it's like, okay, so she's into music.
She's into
music. Okay, so she's into music.
And like beat poetry and stuff.
Was she like in a band before this?
Oh, yeah, it should be like a band breakup happened. Like, again, it's just their little band, but it's like, right, this is the drama. She, like, lost her friends or whatever. It was, like, her and her boyfriend and, like, two friends, and they broke up, and they all chose him. And then she went on a big rampage and embarrassed herself and all this stuff, and then you could do, like, she just had a horrible, horrible summer or whatever it is.
Okay, yeah. Is she, okay, let me throw this out there. Does she need to be, how old is she? Because you could do she's a young woman. You could do she's like 20 or something like
that. That's true. She doesn't need like parents here.
Yeah, like you could do it's just a classic romance. Yeah. And it would be like, yes, she had, and then she moved to this town to be a music teacher. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like she just wanted to, she was in a mid-level indie band that, you know, fucking flamed out.
Or they kicked her out.
Yes, she is. I would do, if her thing's nostalgia, it should be, she's similar to Shane in that it should be, she remembers the good times, she keeps trying. She should be kind of like a fuck up. Like, she's like in her mid-30s or late 20s, and she's still borrowing money from her parents because she's still playing in this band and taking the band thing seriously. And it's like, why can't it just be like the time in high school? Like, why can't we just play music for the fun of it? And like, the other people in her band are like, because we got fucking jobs. Like, we got stuff to do. And she's like, and again, she just wishes it was just like nice and easy back in the day. Like, again, she wants to hang on to that. It's like, maybe.
So she hasn't grown up.
She hasn't grown up. You should be a music teacher. Like it's the opposite of Coco or whatever. It's like you're not Taylor Swift. Like you're 30 something and you're not amazing. Like but you love music. Find something that you love. Do something.
Okay,
like,
so she shows up hungover to band practice at the school she works at and barfs and on a student and because she just got fired by her band the night before and she went drunk to school and got shit canned and now she needs a new job because her parents are kicking her out of her place and she finds this town.
There's a job opening for a music teacher in Wyoming and the parents are like, you're not getting any fucking money from us. Like, get yourself a job or whatever it is. And you know, they'll just do their, what's the biggest city in Wyoming? Like, it doesn't have to be that she drives a million miles to Wyoming. Like, she just finds a town outside, you know, 100 miles away or whatever, that she's gonna become a music teacher. And she gets there and it's like, this town's fucking lame. Like, this is a cool 30-something who likes to spend her time, like, at clubs and, like, listening to cool music and all this stuff. Like, she's, you know, she's one of those kids that hasn't grown up. Mm-hmm. And now she's stuck in this town that looks like from the 1970s playing lame-ass old people music and everything. And she doesn't know what to do.
Okay.
And she's looking for meaning
We're
in her life.
We're getting there.
And then she goes to this classroom, and like all the books are still talking about the war of the war of aggression of the North.
Okay,
she's like, this is weird. Why is
you
this?
Could do okay because there's something I still like about her being younger mm-hmm. than being again this being yeah. like a kind of teen romance. Like you could do she was this you do all that stuff, but yeah. she's a student, right? Yeah. And she got kicked out of her band with her boyfriend, and yeah. she you know showed up drunk to school and all this stuff and got expelled. Mm-hmm. And then you would do she got sent to go live with her aunt and uncle mm-hmm. who live in this weird town in the middle of fucking mm-hmm. nowhere, right? And they're part of the maybe
you could do that. If you're gonna do that, there would be something like,
but then there'd have to be something with her aunt and uncle, like the
her aunt and uncle are just oh, yeah, like
because they're gonna age when the fucking thing happens to her. Yeah, yeah, shit.
It's either her and her family move there or she just moves there. If you knew her and her family move there, it'd be her and her family, like again, her parents are retiring or something.
Why do they move there? Fuck my life. Ugh, this is driving me crazy.
Why do people move? People move because they're looking for a new beginning. If like the again, lost her dad or something. Like if he's just doing that, if you're going to do that, this kid just didn't want something to change.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you could do that. It's like lost. Like again, like you could do that. Like, yes, it's like he found out his little brother is like terminally sick or like mm-hmm. again, or again, even that his parents are getting divorced, like something really simple. Like maybe even just do that because it's also like he needs to learn it's not his fault. It's like, and
I would now make hers. Okay. Here's what I would do. I would do that. She has the thing like the divorce, and that's mm-hmm. why the move happened, right?
Yeah.
Like the dad left them and the mom is penniless mm-hmm. and the mom moved to this town to be a music teacher because mm-hmm. it's the one fucking job she could get, yeah. right? To keep a roof over her daughter's head. And her mm-hmm. daughter is pissed to have moved away from all of her friends in the cool yes. big city, and she's stuck in this boring little town now, and she's yeah. like, I don't understand why we're not a family anymore. I don't understand what's going on with dad. Like,
yeah,
you
what's really fucked up is that she kind of blames her mom. She's like, why don't you just let things be the way they were? Like, just suck it up. Like, just apologize to dad. Like, why couldn't you, like, we were better off with him. Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, then you have, like, almost, like, Spectacular Now. Like, a low point for her would be she runs away from town to go find her dad, and mm-hmm. she finds out that he doesn't want anything to do with her
yeah.
anymore. You know, and that's the kind of the truth that the mom, she's been running away from.
Yes.
Or in denial about.
Yes.
And so then she could stay in this town forever. Mm-hmm. Or you know, but she's got to get over it. She's got to accept that life has changed.
Yes.
Right. And then you know that's part of the thing that helps the guy accept that life has changed as
yes.
well.
And then yeah, and then she meets this
okay, all right, that's cooking. Okay, so we got our girl. She act one, she moves to the new town with the mom, and yeah. something's happened with the dad, and you know, like they're moving in. She's like, this place sucks. You know, the job pays shit, so she's gotta get a job. She can't hold down a job at, you know, like the you know, like at the local stores or anything like that. And then she finds out that there is an opening at the music, at the radio station.
Yes.
Or you don't even, there isn't an opening, but her mom's like, you know, I hear there's a radio, it's a classic, it's your boomer yeah. advice. It's, why don't you go apply,
oh, see if
go knock
hiring.
On the door and see yeah, if they're yeah, hiring. Yeah, yeah, and she's mom, like, oh, mom, I don't want to do that. But of course, that's our first clue that we're in the past, is that that does work. And she's like, wait, really? Like, I just get a job? And then so she meets the guy, and
I do think it's like Spectacular Now. I think it's a small, like, she likes him, he likes her, but again, he's worried because he knows who he is. And part of this whole thing is that things don't change. Like, he can't fall in love with her because what? Like, he's gonna doom her to, like, she's gonna start growing and he's not. Like, he's unsure. So, like, but from her point of view, it's just this guy who is, like, again, shy and doesn't want, you know, be part of it, and doesn't want to show off who his family is. And it's just like they both are going to learn about growing up and being a teen together, and you're kind of following their, you know, journey through adolescence, essentially.
Yes.
It's a, you know, Noah Baumbach sort of.
Okay, so then, okay, here's what's good. Cause yes,
with a little bit of magical realism.
There doesn't have to be any intrigue to the plot, because what you would do is he starts to fall for her, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he doesn't want, he's mean to her at first, because he wants them to leave town.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
this is different and weird, and who are you? You're weird.
Yeah,
and different.
But it's also like, what are you, like, he wants them to leave town, because it's like, you're going to get stuck here if you stay here, right? But essentially, you would do, it's their relationship. He falls in love with her, she falls in love with him.
Oh, it's simple, sorry. It's in terms of like what their chemistry is at the beginning. He's the fucking lame ass who keeps playing 70s music on the station.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in, she's like, I got some cool ass music to play. And this is opposite of what he wants, but then he can't help but be intrigued by her. And she's like, this guy's lame and like old fashioned and stupid. And then she finds herself like falling for him also. There's some friction between them in the actual DJ station.
Okay, here's what you do. Okay, because this is how everything starts getting helter-skelter. Uh-huh. She's a big fan of Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
The new Paramore single is dropping, and uh-huh. she can't hear it. Act two, she wants to hear the new fucking Paramore jam, yeah. right? Like, because, like, it was, you know, her band was a Paramore cover band in high school, and she's so mad that everyone else is hearing the song, and she can't get on the radio, she can't find it in any of the record stores. Yeah. She's like, what the fuck is with this place? She calls into the DJ station, he runs the request show, and she's like, I want you to play the new jam by Paramore. He's like, I'm not playing that, and then, like, she has to convince him to find it and play it. Things start to go crazy. You're breaking to act three, is he's like, all right, I'll play the Paramore song, and that's breaking the rules with the demon that he's doing the pact with, right? Like, things are starting to become unstable, right? So he plays the Paramore song, and then, like, now things are getting weird in the town.
Okay.
Like, people are starting to disappear, and it's because people are catching up with... He doesn't realize it, but he started breaking the spell.
And he broke it because he likes her. Yes. This is their romance.
And so, like, yeah, at first it's just they're having a fun romance, and then, but they realize, wait, something weird's going on. Like, why are people vanishing, right? Like, she's starting to, like, her mom vanishes at one point or something like that.
Oh, okay, bear with me, because if it was that if the thing he was trying to hide, bear with me, because I think it's okay, they're both, like, parents that divorced even. It's like, you would do, she's been to the house a few times, and his parents are so fucking lame. Like, they look like they're, you know, 1950s, like, perfect wife and husband sort of thing, and you do, as stuff starts cracking and people start disappearing, she comes over again, and then, like, the mom is, like, carrying a plate over and she drops it, and the husband's like, what the fuck was that? And it's like, wait, what? And it's like, the family, he's like, you gotta leave, you're ruining my family. And it's like, because, like, now that's even pulling apart, like, that's going back, like, that's beginning to move on.
He lets her into his heart, and you know, he, you know, starts breaking the pact with the demon, and then slowly things are starting to move forward, and he realizes that's what's going on, and he's trying to stop it. And then she finds out the big sad shocking twist. And then, her mom disappears, and she realizes she's going to get stuck here.
Oh, they should have a kiss or something? And he's like, you know, it's the cheesy line, like, I wish this night would last forever. And then that's, like, the cry, like, at the end from him. He's like, don't you understand? Like, if you just leave it alone, like, you and me, we could be like this forever. Like, in love, like, teenagers, like, nothing ever has to change sort of thing. And then she's going to learn the lesson and grow up. He's like, no, we have to, like, let this go. And he's like, what's going to happen? She's like, I don't know. I don't know what happens next. And then they, whatever, release the demon, and then time fast forwards, and then
whatever, like, the lesson that she learns also is clearly should just tie into what her mistake was that got her into it in the first place, right? Like, whatever that thing that she
do you know what it should be, is that they're a Paramore cover band, and her friends came over. It's like, you know, instead of Paramore, we were thinking we should do, like, Drake or whatever. It's like, what the fuck? Like, we are Paramore.
We're para even more.
Para even more. She's definitely in her band is called Para Even More. That's very good. And they play all the hot Paramore songs. And then she got into a big fight because they were like, Paramore's like, we want to do new music.
No, her lesson is forgiving her mom. Like, she's angry at her mom because she's just mad that things are changing and that's hurting their relationship. Right. And it's a really mean thing. And the way she's going to grow up, she's like, mom, it's not your fault. Like, again, I was wrong for blaming you for the divorce. I need to let go and move on. And, you know, I understand this is our life now and I love you. I know you love me very much. Like, that's her growth moment, is like, she lets this go. Like, again, she's just desperately hoping that she can just get back to the functioning family that she had before. And it's like, that's not fair. It's definitely not fair to her mom, who's going through a lot also. And I think once she finds out what's happened, it's
all right, we got to wrap up. I don't think we entirely broke that
but it's like there. I don't know. I think
this is pretty good for a dude's name.
And it's got a good ending.
The ending? So, yes, the ending is...
The ending, she finds out what's going on, he does too, and he gives the offer. It's like, you don't understand. Like, things can be perfect here. Like, look, you can't change what's going on with your mom and dad, but, like, we could be in love. We could be here forever. Like, my family could be perfect. Like, this town's nice, right? You've grown to love this town. Then nothing ever has to change.
Yes.
And she knows that she can't let that happen. She's like, no, you have to grow up. Like,
okay,
this is the case.
Her arc is she grows to love the town, right? And then and then his arc is he falls in love with her, but then realizes that she's going to be stuck here.
And he can't fall in love without things changing. Like, that's the thing. You can't have it both ways.
Yes, things are going to change.
Yeah, like, our relationship will change if we're together. Like, that's how things happen.
Yeah. And so he gets freaked out by that.
Yes.
And then, things start to fall apart. He's trying to hold on to it, and that makes it worse.
And then together they decide to end the curse or whatever, this demon that's kind of there, this demon. And then, she wakes up, and everybody in the town is all different now. People have kids, everybody's older, and she goes and she finds him, and he's, you know, 80 or whatever. And then they say, so what? And then, they walk off and, you know, to get a cup of coffee, and he's telling her about her life. Like, I had a wife and she died of cancer, like, when I was 60. And, like, you know, it was a tough time. And, like, all that. Like, again, it's like, he lived a life. Like, it's not going to be great. Like, his parents got divorced.
And as he's saying that, she, like, stops and, like, kind of thinks about it for a second. He starts walking away, still rambling on. And she's like, Shane, Shane!
Come back, Shane!
Shane, come back. Oh, can't hear me. It's just the end of the movie, Shane.
Yeah, I know.
All right, yeah, kind of. Hey. Look, we started with a word, guys. Give us a break. Shane, the sad teen goes to stop time.
Time, yeah.
The sad teen goes to stop.
That's pretty good.
That's a good subtitle. I think that's important. That the
and
subtitle's
then
there.
As he drives off there goes the last DJ starts playing by
nice.
Tom Petty.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
True. Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
You're listening to K-Hell 66.6 FM, Beazle and the Bub.
That's right, we're the only radio station that gets to use numbers instead of letters, ha ha, because we're demons, ah, is that right? Tell me what's the weather like over there?
The weather
in
is...
hell.
The weather is raining pitches, that's right.
It's pitch day!
It's pitch day, we're going to call it a random...
Like pitch as in like black tar, right?
No, pitch like a movie, because we got tons of money to spend on a movie, so we're going to call it a
that's
random
right, we got
listener.
A bunch of ill-gotten gains in gold. If you can be the number 666 caller in to the radio station, we can pitch, you can pitch us a movie, and maybe we'll fund it.
All right, let me go to the board here. Oh, we got one. Here we go. What's your name, sir?
Hi, am I on? Is this Beazle and the Bub?
This is Beazle and the Bub. I'm Bub. That's Beazle.
The Beazle. Woo-hoo.
Oh, boy. Gosh. Golly gee willikers. I'm so excited I finally called in. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Long-time sinner, first-time caller.
I love catching you guys right after Dr. Laura and the Shane Company ads. And I actually have a movie for the movie sweepstakes giveaway.
All right.
Ooh, I'm ready. I'm hot and
you
ready
got
to hear it.
60 seconds. If you give us a good pitch, we'll give you $60 million.
Wow. Okay. So the movie is about a classic rock radio station.
I like where this is going already.
Run by a cool demon. And so this demon has trapped a young boy named Shane, whose little brother is going to die. And Shane wants to keep his brother from dying and keep the world from changing. And he's like, what can I do? And the demon's like, you can play classic rock all day, and I'll make sure that it never changes. It's never not.
That's what we would do.
That's what we're doing already, playing all the great classic rock backwards.
But then a girl comes to town, and she feels ways about stuff. She's got, like, you know, a thing going on with her mom and, like, her dad, and she's all moody about a divorce. But she's from the modern age. She's like, wait a second.
Vague, but I like it.
Wait a second. Why hasn't this town changed since the 1970s? Whatever. I don't care. I just met a charming guy at the radio station, and I'm going to start a whirlwind romance with him. And slowly she starts accepting this town, and she learns more about the dark history and its secrets. And then the two of them fall in love. But, oh, no, that mean-ass demon's going to get in their way and screw everything up. She's going to get stuck here in the past just with him. And the two of them have to let go. They have to learn to grow up and move on and accept that bad things happen. And, you know, the whole movie's like kind of like it's got like a bittersweet coming-of-age thing. And it's got like a ton of classic rock music in it. And at the end of the day, they wake up and she wakes up and the town's moved forward. She finds him at the cemetery placing flowers on the grave of his little long lost little brother. And she's like, how was it? Like, how was your life? And he says, like, you know, it was hard. It had its up and downs, but the music's never been as good.
Hey, this is this is one of the demons over here. I got a question for you. Two questions.
Fire away, Beazle.
Number one, what's this movie called?
This movie's called Shane, the Teen Ghost Boy, and Beazle and the Bub, the two cool demons who trapped him back in time.
Ooh, right. A pitch right from my heart. Question number two. The little brother dies. This guy's going to die eventually. She's going to die, too. Do we get their souls?
We'll workshop it.
Oh, that one's going straight to the
hell.
Pit of fire.
Nobody goes to hell. Movie doesn't get made. That sounds like a bunch of bullshit for a bunch of people who don't sin.
Oh, we can swear in this radio because it's
right.
Our radio.
This radio in hell.
Shit, fuck.
Oh, gee whiz, that's too bad. I guess I'll just move on with my... Oh, no, there's a pit opening beneath me. Daniel Beazle
in the pub. That's another satisfied listener. What we got on next, Bub? Name one song, any song from the 70s.
Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's what's on my Google right now.
What?
I don't know any songs. All right. Well, that was a thing. Good job, Will, on the elevator pitch.
Thank
How did it
you.
Go?
That was fun. We
the,
have a,
you
we
mean
have,
the, sorry, The elevator pitch.
You know, we haven't done an elevator pitch in a while. I feel like my skills are a little rusty.
I mean, I liked it.
All right, cool.
Beezle and the Bub don't,
but they're also kind of like a little bit shitty. You know what I mean?
I feel like there's always been a motif when we do elevator pitches where half the time we're like, oh, yeah, let's pitch it to the villain of the movie. And that's always like, well, they're not going to like the movie very much.
Maybe it's because subconsciously we think everybody we pitch to are villains. All right.
That's going to do it for us this week here on Story Break. The Story Break break segment's a little interstitial here between writing Heaven Heist while we kind of go back to our old format and kind of break some stories the old-fashioned way, the way it used to be done. If you
like those classic rock, those classic Story Break hits from the 70s, 80s, 90s,
70s, and more. 90s, and more.
Did we just write a movie subconsciously being like, hey, audience, you gotta let things change? We're never doing the old format again, except that we are doing the old format.
We're trapped in the past. No, you can hit us up on social media at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or at whatever the Facebook
bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. We're also a proud member of the Maximum Fun Podcast Network. That's at MaximumFun.org. And we're one of them podcasts. And there's a great number of other fantastic podcasts at MaximumFun.org as well for your listening enjoyment. That's going to do it for us this week. My name is Freddie Wong.
My name is Will Campos.
My
name is
Matt Arnold. And
there goes the last DJ who writes what he wants to say and screenplays every day. And we're fading out. Tom Petty rules.
What's your favorite Tom Petty song?
Probably this one.
Nice.
Me too.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
And so I have to write material that makes sense and makes people laugh. I also have to think about what I'm saying to people.
If I kick your ass, I'll make you famous.
The fight to get LGBTQ representation in the show.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
I really just became a political speechwriter by accident, realizing that I have accidentally pulled my pants down.
Listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
It's like if the guinea pig was complicit in helping.